we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm sitting down with Jarrett Coleman, a school board director in Parkland School District up in Lehigh County, and the presumptive Republican nominee for the newly drawn 16th State Senate District that includes most of Upper Bucks County. Welcome, Jarrett. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, first of all, how did you get started in all of this? I mean, one of the main things I want to talk about in your story is how you kind of converted, you know, reopen movement energy into you're looking to be a state senator here. You're sitting
right.
pretty for it.
Right.
How does that happen? Kind of walk me through the story.
Yeah. I mean, so this all goes back. Again, thanks for having me. Thanks for everyone for listening and for everything you guys do, because it's really special. This all goes back to pre-COVID, really, was, you know, my wife, Caitlin, and I are both from the Lehigh Valley. So we're from the rough Allentown area, greater Allentown area. I had gone to Parkland as a child, and she went to Salisbury, and moved around a little bit with my job. And when we decided we wanted to start a family, we moved back to Briningsville and picked a school district, which was Parkland, that I wanted our future kids to go to. And now we've had kids, and so picking our school district was important for us, because we wanted the kids to have a good opportunity and good experience.
Of course, yep.
And, you know, it's just so, this is 3 years ago at this, 4 years ago. My son is four now, and I also have a two-year-old daughter, but this is before COVID. And it was really, I think the funny thing is, really before politics was even involved in my life. I mean, I was not really involved in politics. It didn't get involved in my life as much as I thought. You know, in college, you think everything, the world is just a happy place and everything magically works. And then you get out and you start having a family, you start having to pay your bills, and you realize, some of these ideas actually aren't realistic. And you start really looking at the world and through a dollar and cents figure and maybe a little more conservative of a view. And so I remember maybe about a year and a half ago, really starting to look at what was going on in terms of COVID restrictions in the Parkland School District. And I started seeing, I mean, it was everywhere. Everyone was being shut down, not just in the schools, but, you know, in the county. Yeah, exactly. And then I started reading more about what was going on in the school districts and trying to get involved in school boards and getting the kids to make sure that the kids were back in school full time. And really was getting frustrated when we started to go to some school board meetings and really talk to the school board, and parents would talk to the school board, and the board would look at them, but almost look right through them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they actually cared or they listened. And these, again, are school board directors that at times had been on the board for over 15 years, some of them. I mean, not really, you know, taking a listen to what the community has to say. And I just got, I was so frustrated watching parents who were upset, whether it was remote learning that was forced upon them. I mean, in Parkland, we made the children go remote. We didn't care if you had a babysitting program or if you had a place that if you had someone that could stay at the house with your kids, you had to figure that out. The district didn't care. They just sent the kids home. And I just remember seeing so many parents that were so upset at these school board meetings. Just, they weren't being listened to and they weren't being represented. And it was just so bizarre. So I said, enough is enough. And I ran for school board, to try to make sure that we had just an everyday, an average parent, an average taxpayer on the board, not someone that's been there for 15 years and not someone that's scared to vote no or to say, this is stupid, I don't agree with this, or tell me why you're doing this, show me why you're doing these things that don't make any sense to me.
And why do you think there's you as somebody who represents, coming in with that mentality, like, I'm going to ask questions, I'm going to vote my conscience. Why is that so rare on school boards prior to COVID?
Yeah, it's bizarre. I think I, I think, it's really unique. COVID, as terrible as it was, and just as terrible as it was in what it did to our society, what it did do is it made a lot of people super hyper-concentrated on the most local form of their government, the most furthest mm-hmm. position down that ballot, which is school board directors. Because for the first time, a larger portion of parents now were focusing in on what's happening in their kids' schools. And so we had parents that were showing up in larger numbers to school board meetings and getting involved. And I think before then, people didn't really care to research the candidates further down the ballot because for whatever reason, they didn't make that much of an impact in their life. I mean, maybe if you had kids, you looked, but people outside of that immediate circle, I don't think really got involved in the school board races. And so if there were simple things like name ID or someone that's always been on the board, or, you know, school board candidates in Pennsylvania can cross file, so they show up on mm-hmm. both ballots. So the Democrat nominee and the Republican nominees, they can show up on a cross filed ballot.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of deceptive to the voters. And I just don't think people cared. I don't think people looked into it as much. But now people's kids were being masked in school. They were being kept home virtually. They were also being taught things that had some Marxist ideology. And people were, I guess, they saw their kids at home. They saw their kids struggling. And then they started to examine what the kids were really doing or not doing. And so then they started to show up to board meetings and they started to express their concerns, and the board continued to ignore them. And it was just so obvious that for now, the first time, the board thought it would just be business as usual, but parents wanted something
different.
Yeah. And they wanted to be heard, and they weren't. And so that's why I think no one looked into it that far, you know, long ago. People just weren't as connected with school boards because there wasn't an issue. They didn't see any problems at school. So there wasn't much to complain about.
Right. So there you are then. You make the decision to run. Is it fair to say that that's kind of the beginning of your story that now is carrying you to the state senate where you start to really build your name? Like you have people behind you, you know.
Yeah.
Is there like a reopen movement up there, like groups and stuff like that?
There are. There'd be the Freedom for Choice group. Okay. That's pretty big up in Lehigh County, but nothing like Reopen Bucks. But I think it's so empowering to show people what you've done. And I think that's the bigger story, is that's where all the support came from the school board. Is I just would show up, and if I didn't understand, for example, in Parkland, we did the masking, the health and safety plans, you know, some health and safety committee that no one can. So this is a committee that makes decisions on the kids, you know, their masking policies and their COVID protocols, yet this committee doesn't meet in public. No one knows who the members of the committees are, and they're making policy to tell the parents what's going to happen to their children. I mean, it's just bizarre to me.
Nonsense.
And this forced people to have a larger, you know, I guess, stake in their kids' education and really notice what's going on. And that's where a lot of the support came from, is because I would get up on the school board during a meeting, and I would ask the solicitor, I would say, hey, our solicitor, you know, I'd say, hey, Steve, I don't understand. Why do we do this like this, you know, in a board meeting? And, you know, it's funny because I'd have some people that are detractors or non-supporters, and they'd email me and they'd say, you don't know what you're doing. You're not equipped even to be on the school board because you're asking all these questions. You don't understand. I'm like, please don't misunderstand my questions for it being that I don't understand it. I'm asking questions to expose your thoughts on how we made these decisions. Like, why is it that this health and safety committee meets in private? Why don't they meet publicly? Oh, well, that's always what we've done. Well, momentum isn't a good excuse. I mean, that's not, you know what I mean? Just asking those questions. And then people like to see that. They liked someone asking these questions and being, you know, I was the only one that voted no on a budget. Like, how could you vote no? Because I don't agree with the numbers. Or we go to build a new school and they'll say, oh, are you going to approve the budget? Or I ask a question, have we gotten other quotes? I mean, how dare you dissent? You know, I remember being seated on the board at Parkland, and I can remember a meeting where I was kind of told, this is how the meetings are going to operate. You know, you're going to sit here and you're not going to take questions from the public and you're not going to interact with the public. You know, that's how this is going to go. This is a very much the questions in the public will be They'll interact with the president of the board and the superintendent of the district, and that's how the communication will go. And I'm like, well, I'm just as much an elected official here as anyone else. You just might not like my point of view. But I thought that was telling. And so when I started responding to parents, it kind of set the district off in a tizzy. They really didn't like the fact that, oh, this point of contact now, this information came from someone else, you know, someone other than the superintendent or the president of the board, which they can really focus their information on.
And you're a threat to their iron grip of control over the messaging and the whole thing, because you can expose it from the inside. You're part of the exec sessions. You know what's going on.
Correct.
So when in the story of your service on the Parkland School District did you decide, okay, I'm going to level up from here? And I'm asking, again, going back to this idea or theme of, you know, let's convert the momentum of the last 2 years, the hardships that we've had to bear to meaningful long-term impact. There's no better representation for that to me than your story. It's a perfect classic example. And we've had in Reopen Bucks, you know, lots of folks who got on their school boards, lots of folks who are doing like things that are going to be long-term. For you, I think it's going to land you in a state Senate position. How does that happen? Like, how do you make that switch?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think it's the, you know, so I think you had asked, what was it? When was I on the board that I started seeing these things? And it was almost right away, right? Like when you get into that position and you start saying to ourselves, okay, tell me why our special education funding, for example, we only get reimbursed for 10%, yet we're required to educate the whole, you know, let's say we have $1.5 million in special education, yet we only receive $150,000. And then the taxpayers picks up the brunt of that to offset that. And that, well, where does that come from? Well, that comes from Harrisburg, you know. Where does it come from? You know, why is it that every school board is a member of the Pennsylvania School Board Association, right? Why are we a union as elected officials? Why are we part of a union? Almost in a way. Why is there an organization? If we're all into all different parties, why are we part of this organization that the school district essentially pays dues to every year? You know, why is it that the teachers' union and the PSBA, actually the PSBA, why is it the PSBA lobbied against the Sunshine Act legislation? Why is that? Those are these questions that I'm seeing. Why is it that when the Walmarts were opened, yet the local pizza shop was closed during COVID? Where does that come from? You know, that comes from Harrisburg, you know? Where were the leaders? Where were the leaders when the kids were forced at home? You know, when your kids were stuck at home and they couldn't go to school, you know, where were all of our elected officials to say, hey, let's get these kids back in school? You know, how about when parents start seeing in things in their curriculum they're not so fond of? I mean, no school is perfect, right? But every school has had problems. And I think you can find stories of parents finding things in different portions of their kids' curriculum because, again, they're paying attention now. Yep. And so I think where were the legislators to stop the stuff from getting in to the curriculum? Or if they're saying it's not in the curriculum, where were they to stop it from being in the syllabuses or from being in the classrooms, right? Something doesn't need to be in the curriculum, but it can still end up in the classroom.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a little disingenuous to tell parents, oh, well, that's not in our curriculum. Well, then tell me why my son or daughter comes home and this is what they were taught today. You know, there is some gray area there. So where were the legislators to make sure that our children have a transparent syllabus that's accessible by every parent? You know, where they can see exactly what their children are learning and the scope of what they're learning, you know. And so I think getting in and seeing what the district was doing and being, it's just bizarre being a Republican in a Republican majority, yet with mandatory masking. So I was voting on things, you know, and as a Republican or as a conservative and looking at my other Republicans on the board, like, how did you just vote for that? How do we we're supposed to share the same
mindset,
ideals, and you're voting like something else. You say you're a Republican, but you say you agree with these things and to get elected, and now you're in and you're voting differently. Why is that? That's weird to me.
It always really bothered me. This ties back to the whole point about Harrisburg, and it all ties back to Harrisburg. Both, you know, Republican school board directors who never really did very much, pretty much everyone in Harrisburg who never really did very much. It was politics to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was an opportunity to either, you know, grandstand but not do anything, or just hedge your bets and play it safe, try to play both sides, right?
Yeah.
Look like you care, blah, blah, blah. When in reality, you go home and
right.
you do have the same mindset that the other people
right.
do. Like, I think the vast majority of people, including most Democrats, probably felt like this was all a very big overreaction. But
oh,
there
yeah.
wasn't enough bravery or principle that said, I'm going to set aside the politics and the votes and the, you know, this all these mechanisms that you play when you're in higher office
yeah.
and just do what my heart tells me to do, try to
right.
do the right thing.
Right.
There wasn't enough of that. So that's part of what makes your story so great. There's another big one in there, which is you look at the folks who did try to fight back in their own way and do something. Like you have Senator Mastriano, might be your colleague.
That's right. Yeah.
He's run,
yeah.
the nominee for governor. Like
yep.
how fantastic is that?
Yep.
It should embolden people, I think, to be like, there are times when you cash in the political chips, right? There's times
right.
to hold on to it and build up your bankroll. Then there's sometimes you have to cash it in. The people
yeah.
expect that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the biggest miscalculation, I think, that the Democrats may make right now is that they assume that, well, COVID's over, we're back to normal, and so we're all going to forget. And that's a huge miscalculation, because no one forgets. And I think that's huge with the Reopen Bucks group as well. And we get to a point where we have to pivot. We remember what we all went through together, and then we find out, we get a plan in place to pivot and to get out and to make sure we stay out. And this involves holding our elected officials accountable, remembering what happened. We won't forget. I guarantee you people don't. This is not something that just gets forgotten. You know, we don't just forget that, you know, what it's like to see the children on school buses with masks over their face, to see them sitting in a school, to see them sitting in a cafeteria, you know, 5 feet between everyone, not facing
oh,
each other, all
terrible.
Facing forward, not even in a cafeteria, in a gymnasium, right? Because they can't be close to each other from, you know, they have to maintain their social distance. Like, those images are forever stuck in parents' faces. And those images are, I think, in a lot of the way, the images of the restrictions of knowing what it's like. You can't go out to local pizza place, but, you know, you can go to Walmart or any of the big box stores. People remember this. These are like flashbulb memories in a way. You know, everyone can remember where they were for 9/11, when they learned about 9/11, everyone can remember where they were. When there's a big event that happens, everyone can pretty much remember where they were. I think in COVID was an expanded one of those. I think a lot of people have a lot of very vivid memories that they remember, you know, that they can
yeah.
bring from COVID, and I don't think we're going to forget that.
Well, there's certainly trauma from like the tyranny, the overreach, the mandates,
right.
the nonsense. There's
right.
definitely trauma on the side of people who just wanted to be left alone and live their lives.
Yep.
But what we're seeing now with the voter registration swings, I mean, it's insane
yep.
how much
yep.
all over the
yep.
country, everywhere,
yep.
Republicans are soaking it all up.
Yep.
Because you have a lot of people who are on the other side for the longest time, who eventually they come to the same point where they're like, okay, I've just lived this. I have some trauma about what happened because this wasn't right.
Right.
And these are, for the most part, it's a lot of people who wore their masks all the time. They
Correct.
Got vaccinated.
Yeah,
maybe
absolutely.
They even
yeah.
got boosted.
Sure.
And they're like, wait, I'm still being made to do all this.
Yeah.
So you're right. That stuff is going to stick around for a long time. Now, in terms of remembering and making it count, bringing forward massive
right.
change,
right.
one of the big ones that I point to is like just a huge victory that's Pennsylvania specific is our constitutional amendment. Like what they did to small local businesses can never happen again,
right.
at least not
right.
unless the legislature blesses it. So you're going to Harrisburg. What's that look like for you, especially bringing the school board director history is what you immediately have
yeah.
to draw on. What are you going to Harrisburg to do? You know,
yeah.
what are your goals,
I mean,
out of the gate?
You know, one of the most beautiful things about being on the school board after all of this, and just, as we said earlier, kind of making those statements or voting no, just doing what the community wanted, saying those, you know, you'd say something at a meeting and they're like, people would email you and they're like, thank you for saying that. That's what we wanted to say, but no one would say it. So thank you for just saying it. Well, that's really useful. And that's a good skill to be able, and just doing the job of representing the people in your area. So I'm going to just bring the discontent of Lehigh and Bucks County to Harrisburg and demand change in whichever way Lehigh and Bucks County decides that the Republicans and the constituents, independents, Democrats, whoever votes for me, what they're telling me that they want done. I think the another big miscalculation right now about, you know, you had mentioned earlier about the masks, and I wanted to say something, or someone getting a vaccine or a booster, is you can do whatever you want, but don't tell me how I need to live my life. And that's huge. And right now, the Democrats are really pushing, hate to bring this into politics, but you'll notice a lot of Democratic candidates in places are saying this isn't about party anymore. They're trying, because they don't want to focus on their party, because their party is doing a lot of, I mean, pretty terrible things.
Oh my God, it's $5 a gallon gas. Correct. I mean, the whole country, is, it feels like it's on fire right now. It's crazy.
So, of course, you want to say it's not about party when your party, you want to distance yourself from that party as much as possible.
But those are the ideas.
Right.
The same ideas that drove you to do nonsense things for COVID.
Right.
The, oh, we just have to do something mentality. It's that same mentality that is causing all these issues.
And do you know where they lost it? I think where they lost, I think they were getting away with it. And it was, the restrictions were working. I think it was making people more dependent upon the government. It was weakening them to the point that they needed the government. They needed a bigger, they thought they needed a larger government, which I think the government should be as small as possible and should really stay out of our lives as much as possible. But I think where they screwed up is they started involving our kids. And they can make me do whatever they want, or they can tell you to do whatever you want. But the second they try to tell your kids what they're going to do, and you start questioning, is this safe for my kid, or is this the right thing for my kid, or do I even get the option to maybe say no about my kid and the health of my children? Just do I get a choice in that? I think that's where they lost it. I think they may have gotten away with more, but the second they started messing with the children, I think they had a lot of mom and papa bears show up and started calling them out. And I think it was, you know, the what do they call it? The when they started showing up the school board meetings, we were all now domestic terrorists, you know, for defending our children, of course, you know.
That had to be their defense. So once that flipped, they just went off into cuckooville with that. I mean, that doesn't look good.
Right.
And all just to agree with your point, which I think that's very poignant, that's a great point. For us personally, my wife and I, Kiri and I, we only did this whole thing, like Reopen Box, everything we've done, we only did it because our three-year-old daughter lost the Percocet library. She lost it. She couldn't go in. They didn't have song and dance story time. She couldn't do what she loved at that time. And so we wanted to get involved. And I saw this past year, the same school board election that brought you forward on the wave you're riding. It was the school board races that drove Bucks County to elect 5 out of 5 row offices as a Republican.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to disagree. Like, I would love to seek someone out and find somebody who can, like, make a coherent argument against what you just said, because it feels to me like that was really it. You do something to me, I'm 35 years old.
Right.
What's another year or two of my life? It doesn't make that much of a difference. But my three-year-old, nope, you're hands off. We're not doing that. So I think that is what not just got more people involved, but just got them willing to say, I'm going to fight. I'm actually going to put on the gloves and I'm going to fight for my kids, which is, that requires like a certain level of, you know, you got to get up to do something, go speak at a board meeting or work on somebody's campaign. I mean, these are things that it's a lot different than just being mad on Facebook. You have to actually convert it to energy. So I'd agree with that. That's what really kind of flipped the energy situation.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think it all goes back here. How many parents they say, you know, if God forbid my children ever got sick or had serious health impairment, or, you know, God, just give it to me, you know, let my kid be healthy, give it to me and I'll take it, you know. And I think in this situation it was the same thing. Let me fight my kids' battles. Don't, you know, don't do this to the children, because they don't have a voice. And for so long, you know, we didn't need that voice for them. I think parents could send their kids to school without really worrying about that, just having a really good, you know, I guess a false sense of security, because they maybe weren't exposed to exactly what's going on. But now the cover's been ripped open and people are looking in. And that's good, because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want the community. We want 100 people to show up at a school board meeting. I want that. I want there to be 100 people at a municipal meeting. Good. Because it shows that people are interested in their government. It shows they're interested in what's going on. And so if you have a meeting where there's five people, I mean, are you really getting a good representation of the community there? You know, that was beautiful for me to see both sides. This was not one side either. This was not just like at a school board meeting where parents are coming to say, you shouldn't mask my children. For every 10 speakers that we had that would say, don't mask my children, we'd have 10 that would come and say, please mask the children. But that's beautiful. That's community. That's a place where the community comes to their elected officials and airs their grievances. That's beautiful. That's what we should see. And I hope that continues to extend in other places in our government, like in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. What would you say then to, I'm going back here to kind of the main theme for me, the main theme with your story is you've converted energy of the past 2 years to something that's really going to make a difference.
Yeah.
You slayed this massive dragon in terms of defeating, presumptively, you're ahead right now. We'll see what happens. It should be over. Like,
right.
I think it's kind of over.
I mean, yeah, the date for a recount has passed. There can no longer be a petition to count again, and even in the McCormick and
McCormick
Oz race, right? You don't even see a large difference anyways.
Yeah. So it's getting
time to come together.
Exactly.
And let's say, okay, this is the change. This is what people want. And now let's come together and let's do what we need to do in November and take back our state and make sure that in the future we don't have to worry about this. And now our kids don't have to worry about it, and our grandkids won't have to worry about it. So our children will never have to feel the way that we felt, you know, when we were not having control over what was going on with them.
Yeah, like I go back to that constitutional amendment.
Yeah.
Future generations would never have to bear what we bore throughout March, April, May, June, July of 2020 before finally we like fought so hard that they had to open stuff. That can't happen again.
Right.
So similarly, sending a lot of people to Harrisburg, a lot of energy to Harrisburg to push for change in all these other facets, that's going to be generational.
Right.
It truly is.
Right.
So given that you've gotten there, and it appears as of right now like you've slayed this dragon, gotten over the hump of your long-term incumbent opponent there in Lehigh. My understanding is the district is very red, right? So by all accounts, you should have a huge head start for the general election. You're going to represent kind of one of these best stories of converting the energy into like some long-term meaningful change. What would you say to the folks who are listening who, you know, just the average Reopen Bucks member or reopener in general, someone who has felt disenfranchised by their government throughout COVID, fought back in whatever ways they could, but doesn't know where to go from here. I mean, now COVID is ending and we can say, I pretty much live my life normally now. There's not really any fights left to be had. But what would you say to people about how can they carry it forward? How can they convert it to long-term good?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that you're even in this group means that we kind of share the same mentality. So you're a patriot in that sense, and you believe in fighting for what's right. So yeah, you can't let this die here. We need to stay involved in municipal government. We need to stay involved in youth sports even. We need to just make sure that we have representation at all of those levels, school board, state representatives, state senate, and even in the governor's mansion if we're lucky. I think it's just very important we stay involved and we look to pivot and continually help out making a difference in the future here.
Well, so it's a really good story. I'm glad that our paths crossed when they did. It was just in the nick of time that we could do anything. I was saying before we started recording, you're going to be like one of the last people to join Reopen Bucks because we closed down in a few days. So it's just a really cool story that you found it at the right time. I want to say it was Jamie Walker who put us in touch. Does that sound right?
Yeah, because I had done it's funny. I had done a segment on, it would have been
the Megyn
Kelly show, and Jamie was on it because we share a lawyer, actually. She, I think, was suing the Department of State over the masking protocol, and I was also fighting the Parkland School District over a Sunshine Act violation with Chad. Yeah.
Amazing.
And so Chad had it was just all really amazing timing and very interesting. I think I spoke to you because actually there was that you know,
mailer.
That mailer, and then that mailer that said
we
that I was the only
one. We stayed
all
the way out of the primary until yeah. the moment I saw that mailer and then heard about who you were.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the one thing you will not do is ride the coattails of the people who right. actually fought right. in the trenches.
So for those that don't remember, there was a mailer that was, or maybe you don't know what happened, or I'm sure you got it, but there was a mailer that was sent out from some group in D.C. that basically said that I voted to mask children, was the only school board member to vote to mask children, and some late Hail Mary attempt to try to save, I guess, the election for my challenger. And it was just totally false. I was the only one to ever vote against the health and safety plans at Parkland. And it's simply because, again, I mean, I'm on the show, the Megyn Kelly show with Jamie, and we're talking about how no one has the authority to mask the children. So I don't think any school district should pass any plans that have to do with masking children. And in this update at the Parkland, they were voting on another update to the health and safety plan, which again had mandatory masking. And recognize this committee, the health and safety committee that meets, that's not public. Again, you have to be meeting in public. People have to be able to see what, you know, who the experts are and what they're saying. And so I said, I'll never vote yes on any of these plans until you're voting, you know, to keep masks off the children. And it was just amazing to see that they could try to use something that we fought so hard against, try to twist it and to send it out to use your children to scare you, and to use one of, you know, someone that was an ally, like a friend, someone that I was fighting for the same things as you. And so for them to try to do that, I think really showed, you know, their true intentions. And I think we, you know, as you said, you pivot, you go out, you find ways to get involved, you stay involved, you make change, and there will always be another fight. You know, to me, I think you have to look too a little bit. We're all patriots in this. We're all fighters. You know, everyone that joined this group, everyone that's fought for their kids to return to normalcy, or just for the counties to reopen, you know, you're a patriot and it's in your blood and you'll do the right things. We elect people into office to go there and to represent us and to do a job and to get out, not to make a career out of it. And I think you said earlier, you know, how are these people getting reelected? Well, especially at the school board level, well, I think that's changing. And I think people are now seeing that you may say that you're going to do something when you get elected, and then you go in there, and the first couple of years you might stick to that, but then you have to make a career out of it for some reason. And mm-hmm. so you start maybe skewing your votes a little bit to maybe gain support, or maybe to right. horse trade a little bit. And that's not okay. And people were sick and tired of that. People wanted a change, and they just wanted someone to go in there and shake things up.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's a very cool story that you were able to, I'm using the term slay the dragon. It's a huge thing what you did. I can't wait personally to vote for you in November. You're going to be my state senator. So yep. This is a pretty awesome, you know, end of the story. Addition to all things. So I'm really glad our paths crossed when they did, kind of just in the nick of time.
Yep.
So, all right. Hey, good luck out there.
Thank
you. Where can folks find you, like find out more about you or help out with the campaign, anything like that?
Yeah, they can go on Facebook, Jared Coleman, PA Senate, or just www.jarrettcoleman.com, and follow me and hopefully talk to me. I'll find you in your community, and hopefully you'll be able to find me in Harrisburg representing you next fall.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Jarrett. Catch you later.
All right. Thank you.